This is TWiT.
Well, a growing wave of pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong endured a night of tear gas last night. The conflict continues into the work week there after a three-day sit-in. The protesters are demanding democratic elections, which were promised by the Chinese Communist Party-led government in Beijing in a 1984 treaty that led to the transfer of Hong Kong from Britain to China. As part of the crackdown, though, the Chinese government banned Instagram, reportedly to prevent people in mainland China from getting any crazy ideas about democracy. In response to rumors that the government might shut down internet connectivity, and also because the number of protesters overwhelmed nearby cell towers, protesters began downloading a mesh networking messaging app called FireChat, which we first told you about back in March. At one point last night, FireChat had 33,000 simultaneous users in Hong Kong, which is incredible to me. Kevin Fitchard writes for GigaOM and has covered FireChat extensively there and joins us now. Welcome to you, Kevin Fitchard.
Thanks for having me.
So before we get into this news, what is FireChat exactly and how does it work?
Well, it's a messaging app, and the big difference between it and the, you know, thousands of other messaging apps that are available in the app stores is that it actually has an offline capability. You can actually chat with people who are nearby by establishing direct connections via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi direct. So basically, it's an internet chat service that doesn't require the internet to work. And in a situation like where protests in China, where you have a very censorious government, I mean, you can imagine it could be quite useful if you know, cellular network is shut down or internet access or access to particular, I mean, IP addresses are shut down. This allows you to just communicate with people in a large group that happen to be nearby.
So how does this work on different platforms? Does it work the same way on iOS and Android? Is it slightly different? Can those phones communicate effectively with one another?
They can. They can now. I mean, that was kind of one of the technical issues that Open Garden, the company that created FireChat, had to overcome. But essentially, they're forming these kind of ad hoc mesh networks, and they can. I mean, not only can like my iOS phone connect to the Android phone that might be 100 feet away, but it could pass that message along to a user that might be 100 feet away from that person I'm connected to. They can just hop or daisy chain together, and so the more people that you get together, the larger of a community you can create over this kind of group chat application. And so in a protest situation or concert situations, like, for instance, mm-hmm. it was used extensively at Burning Man, I mean, it works quite well. And, you know, especially if that, you know, you're not able to access that cellular network to get to make that regular chat app, that WhatsApp or that Facebook Messenger work.
Now, from a network connectivity point of view, this is completely different. But, of course, it uses the regular radios in the phones, the ones that we use for Bluetooth and other uses. Is this something that can be shut down with a cell phone jammer? Will a jammer actually effectively prevent people from using this?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I suppose if you, I mean, flood the airwaves with enough interference signals, I mean, you could shut anything down, basically. If you just introduce white noise in the spectrum, you could pretty much, I mean, cripple any kind of communications. I mean, that's why governments have limitations on, like, what you can use. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I've known people that have created what is essentially called a Wi-Fi gun based on hardware they bought at Radio Shack at a Home Depot, which can basically knock out people's Wi-Fi networks in like a block radius or something like that.
Remind me to avoid people you know.
Yeah. But obviously, you know, there are, you know, regulations against this kind of thing. But, I mean, you know, we're talking about, you know, an authoritarian Chinese government that, you know, I'm sure is willing to take, you know, particular issues to shut down any type of communications if it happens in coming from a distant group. So it is a possibility.
Do you think that this is FireChat's moment in the sun, that enough people are going to hear about this and understand what it is, that it's really going to catch on like Twitter did after its big South by Southwest debut? Is this a big deal?
Or even more like, Twitter's used in Egypt or something like that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, the numbers we're still talking about are kind of small. I mean, they had 100,000 downloads in 24 hours and that kind of thing, which, you know, in terms of Hong Kong, you know, might be kind of big. In terms of global popularity, is not. But I mean, I do think people are kind of discovering it as a tool for these kind of situations, a situation where they kind of need this kind of connectivity in order to communicate with one another. I honestly don't think like the average person on the street is going to download FireChat for that one time they go to Burning Man and they know the cellular network is going to come down or something like that. But I mean, in situations where you have protests popping up around the world, whether it's going to be in, you know, Cairo or, you know, Alexandria or like in Hong Kong, I mean, I think people, it's a very, very easy thing to do to kind of prep yourself for the worst.
So it's kind of interesting that Facebook, which owns Instagram, of course, was blocked there, has been blocked in China since the Xinjiang riots some years ago. And in fact, Beijing is did cut off internet connectivity entirely. That's the rumor that led to some of these downloads, apparently, during those riots in 2009. So the Chinese government has completely shut off internet connectivity before and then banned Facebook over, in those case, riots. These aren't riots. These are very peaceful, genteel kind of protests, although there's a lot of pepper spray and tear gas and that sort of thing. So it's pretty messy and a little dangerous for those who are there. Now, isn't Fire Chat like a great way to spread false information? I mean, I would imagine the Chinese government could essentially control the crowd by pretending to be people and saying, hey, everybody, we're all going over there. And like, you know, you go down the street and there's a fleet of paddy wagons or something. I mean, they could do just about anything to spread false information, couldn't they?
I mean, they could. I mean, almost like a Pinkerton agent, like stuck to the middle of the crowd. I mean, it'd be very easy to do because, I mean, it's a very open network. And what's beautiful about it being so open is can also be kind of a down point to it. I mean, if you wanted to be a part of the network, all you have to do is download FireChat to a phone and then walk into the crowd. And you're instantly connected to everybody that's communicating via that network. You can enter any chat room. And because you can use any name that you want, I mean, even though technically you do have to register with the service with a name and an email address, you can use a false name. And actually, Open Garden is recommending that protesters do that just, you know, to protect themselves. But yeah, that you could spread false information. You could, you know, and if you actually look at some of the Fire Chat, you know, conversations that are going on right now, I mean, I can't tell you whether there's false information spreading out, but there's just a lot of noise. There's a lot of every other message is the word hi, you know, and, you know, everybody's just repeating themselves. It's just absolute chaos. I mean, there is useful information. I mean, there are people posting stuff about like, you know, I mean, this and this is going to be going on in you know, on Chai and Kowloon at this particular time, that, you know, you should go to this chat room to communicate or try and organize about it. But most of it just seems to be, I mean, at least the stuff that's in English, a lot of it just tends to be general nonsense. And that's kind of like what has been kind of pervasive about FireChat's overall network. And in many cases, they have chat rooms and topics, but it's largely chaos. But I mean, that's a kind of beautiful, it's kind of a beautiful chaos in many ways. So.
Do you see a future for FireChat that's, I mean, this is very important use. It's more sort of benign. Or you mentioned concerts. Are there any other situations in which this would be really useful outside of a political situation or one where you're trying to get around networks because you're trying to avoid censorship?
I mean, yeah, there are. I mean, they all seem to be like an example, and I've actually seen this used is like in subways where, you know, you might not have cellular network connectivity. You could, if you're trapped in a subway car, you can communicate and complain about being trapped in a subway car with people next door to you and stuff like that. That obviously isn't a use case that, you know, that just grabs hold of the imagination and that kind of thing. But it is overall a communications app. I mean, you can use it to contact specific people, to enter specific chat rooms. You can access the internet. It isn't not entirely off-grid. I mean, it does have on-grid functions itself, so you can communicate with anyone in the world. But it's kind of the addition of that off-grid capability that makes it useful for those kind of situations. What's interesting, you kind of mentioned beforehand, whether or not, you know, you asked beforehand how indication of how many people are using this or what people use it for. We really don't know. Not even Open Garden, who owns FireChat, really knows, because these conversations are taking off-grid, meaning that it doesn't traverse any of their servers. They have no idea what the amount of off-grid conversations that are actually happening. They only know the amount of on-grid conversations that are happening. They can only surmise based upon what they're seeing when people actually do connect the internet about what's happening when they're not connected to the internet.
I think personally think that the best consumer use case would be to build it into automobile operating systems or map apps like Waze. Waze has a communications feature that goes through the internet. It'd be great to link car to car so that you could have internet connectivity into primitive areas that don't have it, such as Sonoma County here where Petaluma is. Most of Sonoma County has no much of it has no cell reception, which is go ahead.
Oh, you should check out there's a project called GoTenna out right now that this startup in New York. Have you talked to them yet? They're doing a very, very wide area connectivity via like low frequency airwaves. So,
and we applaud them. Kevin Fitchard is at GigaOhm.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at KFitchard. Thanks a lot for joining us today, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.